you tonight. God bless you. You can be seated. I am going to try to obey what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And I certainly appreciate the confidence that these men have placed in me tonight. We honor Brother and Sister Crosswhite, and so good to meet this good man of God and be with him. And Brother Martinez, Sister Martinez, we love and appreciate them so much. I can't get away from them, because the Lord will see fit that I run into them in a truck stop way out in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee. And I hadn't seen them in 5 years, but lo and behold, there they are. Thank God. No, I love and appreciate them. Amen. Good to be with them. And Brother Metlin, we honor you, Elder. We love you and appreciate you. So good to be with you. I appreciate what these men are doing. Amen. Investing in the youth, investing in their community. And it is an honor to be here with them. And certainly we give honor to all these preachers. Good to see Brother Green tonight. Hadn't seen him in a few years, but amen. Brother Scott, a new friend. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad to have my wife and my daughters with me tonight. And I love and appreciate them so much. But I'm going to be a little bit different tonight, because I want to bring something that will hopefully minister to all of us. And I appreciate Brother Crosswhite, the evangelism spirit that he has. And I want to, if God will help me, to operate in a spirit of evangelism tonight. Amen. I want to operate in a spirit of evangelism. And I think that the Lord, I believe that God would have something for all of us. Praise the Lord. I really believe that with all of my heart. And I'm going to try to do something I don't do very much. But First Apostolic Church of Burke, they're probably used to this by now. Praise God. But I'm going to try to sing and play a song on the piano. I'm not a piano player. But I'm going to try to sing and play a song on the piano. Let's love the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to use this stool. Amen. Well, how many appreciate the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. I'm not a piano player, but I came to church with the intention of preaching only. And Pastor Crosswhite asked me to bring my guitar, but I brought it. I always bring it just in case. But it's nothing fancy, and it ain't nothing to it, really. But sometimes it's just making a joyful noise unto the Lord. But God brought me out of the world of sin, and brought me out of false, I can't say false doctrine, because I wasn't raised in false doctrine. But I thought I was a Christian before I came into Pentecost, and I wasn't raised in the church. But I just want to sing a little old song that fits the way that I feel tonight. And I thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that gets a hold of people. When I first heard of Pentecost, the man that told me about the truth, I argued with him. And I said, it don't matter how you baptize. And he said, well, you need to read your Bible, son. And he told me about the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, everybody don't get the Holy Ghost that way. He said, you need to read your Bible. But I was arguing with him. I said, it don't matter where you go to church, just as long as you believe in Jesus. He said, son, you need to read your Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, the day that I quit arguing is when that scripture was fulfilled in my life, where Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he would reprove the world of sin. And can I bring that into layman's terms and just say, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will let you know where you're really at. And when I felt the touch of God for the first time in my life, I had to quit arguing, and I had to say, take me down to the water, because today is my day. Lift my voice and testify tonight that something got a hold of me.
Yes, it did. I said something got a hold of me. Oh, yeah. I went to a meeting one night, and my heart just went right. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold. Revival on the mourner's bench. I was filled with misery. Something hit me, the crown of my head, way down to my feet. Something got a hold of me. God in my hands, God in my feet. I knew it was the Holy Ghost all over me. I went to one night, and my heart just went right. Something got a hold of me. Let's praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
To God. I'm reading in the word of the Lord tonight in the book of Psalms, the 144th Psalm, and then we will turn in the word of the Lord to the book of John, the 3rd chapter. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When I came into Pentecost, I had a manager in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the day that I was baptized in Jesus' name, I told her that I wasn't going to be singing the same old worldly songs that I'd always sung out there in the world. And she said, don't be so quick to rush into this, because in a few days you're not going to feel the same way that you feel right now. But what she didn't know is that there's something different about the Holy Ghost. It's more than shaking a preacher's hand. It's more than signing a church card. Yeah, it's more than just repeating a prayer after somebody else. It's a very real experience. So after a couple of months of being in the church, my manager said, I'm just trying to testify. Amen. And give God the glory tonight. We're bragging on Jesus tonight. Amen. But after a few months of being in the church, my manager, she said, you need to stay away from those Pentecostal churches. She said, it's something about them has a way of getting a hold of folks. Something about them has a way of getting a hold of folks. And when I heard that song for the first time, I said, well, I know what that something is. I thank God for the very real presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found it at an old-fashioned altar, and I've never been the same, and I thank God for it. John chapter 3 and verse 5, we'll start in Psalm 144, and then John chapter 3. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. John chapter 3 verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a sound that accompanies everyone that is born of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to obey what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And I have a message. And I was prepared to preach something totally different. But I feel a certain something tonight. We read in Psalm 144, it said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When Queen of Sheba came into the presence of King Solomon, and she stayed there long enough to get all of her out of her, so that the king put something back into her. You know, she stayed there and communed with him of all that was in her heart. And when she saw all that she saw, her testimony was, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy great wisdom. So I believe that God's people are happy people tonight. I like that old songbook song we used to sing, said, we are happy people. Yes, we are. Been baptized in Jesus' name, spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. We are happy people. Yes, we are. And I want to tell you tonight, oh, you know what we need? We need some joy. We really do. In the day and hour that we're living, we've got too many young people that are depressed. We got too many young people that are sad and down and out. Hallelujah to God. Now hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. I believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. You know why some young people backslide? It's because they don't have enough joy in their life. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why a lot of people backslide. Because they don't have enough joy in their life. Yeah, I'm not talking about superficial, artificial joy. I'm talking about something that comes from the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Depression is a very prominent thing in the world that you and I live in tonight. There's never been a time when more people have been taking drugs to try to cope with the problems and the voices in their mind and the problems that they're confronted with like it is tonight, even in the religious world. That's why I've come to preach tonight about something that is joyful, something that is happy, something that'll put a smile on your face, something that'll put a shout in your heart, something that'll put a dance in your step. You need to be lifted up when you walk out of here. Hallelujah. You need to be lifted up when you walk out of here. Hallelujah. Now you're looking at a preacher. I believe in conviction preaching. We need that kind of preaching sometimes. And I was prepared to preach a conviction message, because Lord knows we don't hear enough of that. Yeah, but I'm obeying what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. Sorry, Elder. Amen. Praise God. Oh, but I want to preach to you tonight from these verses that I read, and I just want to talk to you on this subject. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know how to keep young people from going on that website that they don't need to go on? It's something that makes them happy. And I want to tell you, if the Holy Ghost can't make you happy, you just can't be satisfied. But I've got confidence in the God that I serve tonight. Jesus made us all, and He knows exactly what we need to put up. Happy birthday. I don't have time to preach it all tonight. Glory to God. But that's what we really, what we really need is something that'll pick us up. Now you're looking at a preacher. I sometimes like for a man of God to preach conviction and put me on my face before God. Lord knows we need that. Oh, we need it. But I'm not gonna. I don't want to have to qualify what I'm saying. But I'm just telling you. We need to leave here tonight with some Holy Ghost victory in our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. I could sermonize, but I'm not going to sermonize tonight. Amen. But I'm going to preach something that I've been there and done that. And as Elder Von Morton used to say, got a long sleeve t-shirt to prove it. Y'all ever heard that say it? Been there, done it, got the t-shirt. But anyway, glory to God. So I was in the music world. Y'all don't know me, but I'm just bragging on Jesus tonight. Can we brag on the Lord? Hallelujah to God. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pretend that we're having old-fashioned testimony service tonight. And I'm just going to testify a little bit. Hallelujah. So let me testify. Praise God. And so I was out there in the world. I didn't know anything about Pentecost. I didn't know anything about Jesus' name baptism. I didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. Didn't know anything about any of that. Now, I came from what they call the Bible Belt, all the way from Virginia to East Texas. It's called the Bible Belt. But Pentecost, in some places in the Bible Belt, it's hard to believe, but they don't have it everywhere, even in the Bible Belt. Yeah, go over to South Carolina and North Carolina. But anyway, I ain't got time to preach on all that. But I was into music, and I'm not going to preach anything really about me, but you just let me get to where I'm going. I'm preaching happy birthday. It was in the summer of 2005, and I was invited to perform music at the largest music festival in the United States of America. It's in Austin, Texas, whichever direction that is. Praise God. Glory to God. And in Austin, Texas, it's the largest music festival in the United States of America. And I was going to go play music there. And I'm just telling you the details, not certainly to brag on any of that, because if we thought the world was so good, that's where we'd be tonight. But I'm only telling the details to tell you that if God could deliver me out of what He delivered me out of, God can deliver anybody out of anything. That's the only reason that I tell the details. Praise God. But I was living in a little town called Como, Mississippi. We didn't even live in town. But I lived about a mile and 2/10 outside of town. And I got up in the morning, and I was getting ready to head to Austin, Texas. Had a band, had whoever I hired. But I had a friend of mine that played the drums. His name is Leon. And I got up that morning to get ready to go to Austin, Texas, and play at the largest music festival in the United States. I had a recording contract in Nashville, and the people that owned the recording label had set it up for me to provide the entertainment while all these business executives talked business at lunch. So we'd play at the nightclub at night and then play an entertainment deal at lunchtime for all these business executives in the daytime. And so I'm so happy. I'm back then, I'm thinking, man, I'm happy and I love this. And hallelujah to God. And you know, when you really got the Holy Ghost is when you're able to give up something that you used to love. As a matter of fact, you can't just give it up. Something's got to be taken out of you. You don't just lay it down. As a matter of fact, no. You just fall in love with something better than what you had in the world. But I'm just telling you tonight that I did when I was a sinner. I loved the world. I did. And any sinner that'll tell you they don't love the world, you just ask them to give up the world and it'll show everybody what they love. I'm telling the truth tonight. So I walked out of my bedroom and my friend Leon is standing in the hallway and he's crying. He played drums in our band and he's crying. And his hands were shaking. Summer of 2005. And I said, Leon, why are you crying? You know what he told me? Now, I'm telling you, we played music in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And everybody loved us where we went. Because when you're in the world loves its own. Yeah, Jesus said that. World loves its own. And so, I'm thinking, Leon, why are you crying? And you know what Leon told me? He said, the life that we're living is not giving me all that I thought I should get out of it. Yeah, he told me that. I said, Leon, man, you're crazy. Now, I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about Jesus' name baptism. He said, the life that we're living is not giving me all that I thought that I should get out of it. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know what to tell him because I was a sinner. I was a sinner. And you know what Leon told me? Leon, his hands were shaking. You know what it was? God was dealing with him. And you know, I'm preaching to somebody tonight that you know what I'm talking about. You've laid in your bed at night and cried and shed tears and you didn't know why you were crying. You felt an emptiness in your spirit and you didn't know why you were feeling that. I'm telling you, it's God trying to let you know that there's something better than the world you've lived in. There's something better than what the world has presented to you. Yeah, it's called conviction. It's called when the Lord deals with a heart. But I didn't know that. And I said, Leon, man, you need to dry up those eyes, suck in that bottom lip, man. Let's go and let's play some music and have some fun. Well, I didn't, you know what Leon told me? He said, I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 12 years old and I can't quit. And he said, I know it's killing me, but I cannot stop. Well, I didn't know what to tell him. I'm thinking, man, let's go play music. Let's just do what we've always done. And so we did. But I never forgot about Leon standing in the hallway crying like that. And you fast forward, I can't remember how long it was from that day until the day that I was exposed to this. But when you get exposed to this and the power of God is made real in your life and you experience it, I mean, he's real regardless, but there's something about when God makes himself known, the manifest presence of God. And you want to tell, when you have that experience, you want to tell everybody you know. Especially people in your life that you think believe the Bible. That's like the first ones you want to tell. They're not always the first ones that receive it, but anyway, praise God. But fast forward to that day, after the day that I got baptized in Jesus' name. I see a baptistry over here. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. I got baptized in Jesus' name, and I shouted the victory. I had been down at the altar for a long time, weeping and bawling and crying, squalling my eyes out. But Leon, I had called a few people. I called about four or five people that day. Leon was, I think, the fourth or fifth person that I called that day. Leon picks up the phone. And I said, Leon, do you remember standing in my hallway and you telling me the life that we're living was not giving you all that you thought you should get out of it? He said, I remember that. I said, do you remember telling me that you've been smoking cigarettes since you were 12 and you want to quit, but you can't quit? You remember telling me that? He said, I remember that day. I said, well, guess what, Leon? I said, I found the answer. I know exactly what you need, and I'm calling you to tell you about it. Church, we need to get on the phone. We need to go tell somebody. We need to call somebody up. We don't need to be intimidated, afraid, or shy, or backwards about telling somebody. When you know that you know you've got the answer, you need to tell everybody you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's probably going to be different tomorrow night. But anyway. Leon, I said, you know what? I said, Leon, we need to have a Bible study. Now, I'd just been baptized in Jesus' name. But I knew what happened to me. Praise God. I said, we need to have a Bible study. Now, Leon was raised in a denominational church. His mama carried him like that old song. This is actually a real song. Said, "Mama drug me to church." But anyways, his mama drug him to church, to a church. But it wasn't an apostolic Pentecostal. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. And so, but Leon was very religious. Leon, as a matter of fact, when he got in trouble in school, they sent him to go live with his grandmama in Eastern North Carolina, and he pulled tobacco when he was 12 years old, and they gave him a Bible. Now, this ain't been that long ago. It sounds like it's way back, but that ain't been that long ago. And they gave him a Bible when he went to go live with his grandmama, and Leon had read the Bible a few times. But to my surprise, Leon agreed to have a Bible study with us. Now, I didn't know anything about the scripture except what Brother Harvey had told me, the man that won me to the Lord. And I tell you what I did know. I knew that after I had repented of my sins, the preacher that baptized me in Jesus' name tapped me on the shoulder and let me read Acts chapter 2. Before he baptized me, he let me read it. Amen. And I saw it. And so I knew what I had. And I knew that it was real. And I knew that it changed my life. And I knew that I didn't need to sing them same old songs anymore. And I didn't need to go the places that I was going. The nightclubs and the beer holes and all of the juke joints that we used to play. And we used to play at big stuff too. Television shows and halftime at ball games and big festivals. Whatever. We played everywhere. It didn't matter if it was 550 or 5,000. We played in all these places. But I knew what happened to me. And so Leon agreed to have a Bible study. And but I had no business teaching a Bible study to anybody. I had no business teaching a Bible study. But the man that won me to the Lord, you know what he did? I think it was that very day that I got baptized in Jesus' name. He gave me a big old family Bible. And you know what he told me? He said, "Before you read this Bible, you need to go down on your knees and pray and ask God to open your understanding that you might understand the scripture." Now, I'm just telling you the story. I'm just telling you. And so in order to have this Bible study, I went down on my knees and I began to pray and ask God to give me the understanding so that I could actually know a little bit more of what I was talking about. But thank God I didn't go to the Bible study by myself. I had somebody there that knew a little bit more about the scriptures. Praise God. And so we had a Bible study. We met in South Haven, Mississippi at a little old catfish restaurant. And we're sitting there and we're having a Bible study on the new birth, John chapter 3. At the end of the Bible study, Leon looks at me and he looks at Harvey, the man that won me to the Lord that was also there and helping to teach this Bible study. Leon looked at me and looked at Harvey at the end of the Bible study and he said, "You're answering a lot of questions that I've had for a long time." He sure said that. He said, "I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But he said, "I just don't think that I can do this." He said, "I'm not ready to go this route." And me and my little old zeal, not a whole lot of knowledge, maybe a lot of zeal, but little knowledge. I looked at Leon and I said, "Leon, if you don't do this, you're going to be lost." And Leon got mad at me. And he got up from that table, left all of his fish, walked out on the parking lot by Mr. Harvey's truck, Brother Harvey's truck, and he lit up a cigarette. And I went out after Leon. And I said, "Leon," I said, "man, I love you. I just want to see you saved. And I know there's something better for you than what you had out there in the world." Praise God. Praise God. And so, you know, Leon, he went on to do his thing. I got in the church. And I'm just telling you, it's a crazy story, and it's 100% true. I'm not going to exaggerate one bit tonight, but I feel this so strong to tell somebody. And Leon went on to tour with the number one jazz artist in the United States. Now, I didn't play jazz, but Leon played jazz, and he went on to tour with the number one jazz artist in the United States of America, and I went to get in church, and I got in the church, and I had been in the church for a little while, and one day, I get a very strange phone call. And I picked up the phone after being in the church for a little while, picked up the phone, and it was the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. He called me on the phone. He was a music fan. And he called me on the phone. And hey, you know why I'm so excited, Pastor Mellon? Because very few people in the world that I come from ever hear of this gospel ever. Oh, all right. Preach it, brother. man, the mayor of Kansas City, called me after I'd been in the church a little while, and he was a music fan, and he used to come and see us play worldly music before I got in the church. He calls me on the phone, and he said, "Mr. Ballinger, this is so-and-so, mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. We're having a political rally, and I want you to come and play us some music and bring your guitar and play for us and sing." I said, "Mr. Mayor, I appreciate this phone call. I appreciate it." I said, "But since you saw me last, something happened to me. Things that I used to do, I don't do no more." I told him, "I don't sing them same songs anymore." I said, "Mr. Mayor, I got baptized in Jesus' name, and I got the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. I told him, "I got the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. I was baptized in an apostolic Pentecostal church." I told him all that. I said, "I don't sing them old songs no more. I sing gospel music." You know what? He got real quiet on the phone. I'm telling you this true story. He got real quiet on the phone. I didn't know what he was going to say. Did not know. But he said, "Well, would you come out here anyways and sing us some gospel music?" Woo! He sure said it. True story. I said, "Well, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate this." I said, "But I got to let you know, I'm going to have to call you back." And so I tell you what I did. I hung up the phone with the mayor, and I immediately called my pastor. Glory to God. Well, I'm telling y'all ain't shouting on that. Amen. But I called my pastor and I said, "Pastor," I told him the story. And you know, to my surprise, now my pastor, he kind of held me under his thumb, probably more so than a lot of folks. But to my surprise, and I thank God for it, but my pastor said, "You go, you have my blessing. You have my blessing." Well, it wasn't like I was going to sing at a nightclub. I wasn't even thought about it. Anyway, so my pastor, I had his blessing. Now, I'm telling you, I was still in very many ways. I was a babe in Christ, still in many ways. And so I didn't know how everything worked. But I got to thinking about my friend Leon. Where is Leon? He's traveling, playing music all over the country. He was actually fixing to leave and go to Switzerland. But I called him, and I was thinking, well, I don't know what Leon's doing. But my thought is, if I can get Leon to get off somewhere and I can just talk to him and find a church for him to go to, maybe something will happen to him. And I called my friend Leon, and it just so happened that Leon was not on tour that weekend. And so I flew out to Kansas City, and Leon flew out to Kansas City. And I'm telling you, I didn't know how everything worked. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to judge it when it's all over. But I thank God, anyways, I thank God for his grace and mercy. It was Friday night. It was a political thing. I didn't know anything about politics, still don't. And, well, a little bit, but surely not like I did back then. But anyway, it is what it is. It was a political thing, and there was 500 people out there. Well, I didn't know when I went, and Leon was there that night, but I was going to testify. I knew that, but I didn't know when I got there that all these people were people that used to watch us play worldly music, because we used to go to Kansas City, and we played on television at Kansas City. I'm just telling you where I come from. I'm just telling you, I'm just bragging on Jesus tonight. But all these people were waiting for me to do like I'd always done. Well, I'll tell you what I used to do. I used to take my guitar and I would strap it on. I had a 100-foot-long guitar cord. And I would jump off of the stage in the world. And I would land on my knees and I would dance through the crowd. That's what I did. And I was doing that for the world and for the devil and all the wrong reasons. Well, all these people that were there at this political deal were waiting for me to do like I'd always done. Hope I don't mess this up. Praise God. But they were waiting for me to get my guitar, Elder Mellon, and they were wanting me to jump off and act a fool like I'd always done. Well, I put my guitar on, and the first song that I sang was "Jesus Is on the Main Line." And then I sang 1-1-1, "One Way to God, Baptized in Jesus' Name." Water and spirit, one way to God.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm telling you, all these people looked at me like I was crazy. They weren't clapping. They weren't getting in the music. They looked at me like I was crazy. They were thinking, man, this guy's changed. As a matter of fact, I had some of them come to me afterwards and they said, what happened to you? You changed. Yeah. Well, you better believe I changed. I know I've been changed. Hallelujah. And well, I forgot to tell this part of it. On the phone call with the mayor before we finalized everything, he said, when you get done singing, you can tell us your testimony. Yeah. Well, I was going to take advantage of that. And so when I got done, I told him my testimony. I told every one of them how I was baptized in Jesus' name at an apostolic Pentecostal church, got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. You know what I did? I said, if y'all want to hang out with me, I said, you got to come go to church with me. That's what I told them. I had a whole lot of zeal. Praise God. And I pray that God will help us to go back and get some of that new convert zeal. You know how to set these woods on fire if every saint of God would go back to the altar and say, God, baptize me afresh with that new convert zeal. Hallelujah. Woo. I walked down off that. I got a little ways to go tonight, but I walked down off that stage they had, and the mayor was not a religious man. But my friend Leon was there. The mayor was not a religious man. But he walked up to me and he grinned. He had a grin on his face. He said, before you leave town. Well, first he said, hey, this is great. Now, I'm telling you, it just happened that way. He said, this is great. He said, how about before you leave town, we'll get you a church to preach at. I said, well, I got to make another phone call. Praise God. I called my pastor and I said, Pastor, I can't explain everything and I can't vouch for everything, but I can vouch for call you pastor. Praise God. Yes, sir. Amen. But my pastor, he had, I guess, enough confidence in me. He said, you've got my blessing. He knew that only thing I knew was then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He knew I wasn't going to get too crazy off because that's about all I knew. Praise God. And so it was that the mayor fixed it up. He really did. He fixed it up. Sunday morning. Now, the mayor didn't know anything about a Pentecostal church. All the mayor knew was politics. And so Sunday morning rolls around, and I got my guitar, and we're at a big old, I'm talking about sophisticated, all the high society folks went. And here I am, I got up there, and it was a denominational church. Now, I'm just telling the story. And they let me bring my guitar in there. I couldn't believe it. Praise God. And I brought my guitar in there and I did just like I did on Friday night. I sang Jesus is on the main line. 1-1-1, one way to God. I only knew about 4 or 5 gospel songs then because I hadn't been in very, very long. And amen. But praise God. And I think the last song was that song, I'm Going Home on the Morning Train. Anyway, and praise the Lord. Well, I thought about it. Now, Leon was there. It was a Sunday morning. He was sitting on the front row, my best friend. Now, I can't explain everything. You can't judge it until it's over with. But he was sitting on the front row. And I'd already predetermined what in the world am I going to say to these people? They want me to preach. Well, I can't just preach unless everybody love Jesus and go home. So I read the scripture in the book of I believe it's 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. It's definitely one of the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And he said, when the Lord comes back, he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. So I got up there and I read that scripture and I said, this morning I am going to teach on how to obey the gospel in a denominational church that didn't believe in the new birth. of water and spirit.
Go ahead and tell us.
And so it was as quiet as it could be. There was nobody clapping their hands. There was no, I had no amen corner whatsoever. And but you know what? The apostles didn't have that in the book of Acts either. Praise God. And we're used to it now, but oh, they didn't have it back then. And I think about some of the old pioneers that blazed the trail of this gospel in this country, in this part of the country. And I shared it, I think, last night. I went to the grave down in Houston to see some of the graves of the pioneers that blazed the trail of the truth in this part of the world. But anyway, praise God, they didn't have an amen corner, most of them. And death, burial, and resurrection. I preached, if we know that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how do we obey the gospel? If the Apostle Paul said we have to obey the gospel, and if we don't obey the gospel, then the Lord's going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not obey it. And so I preached on the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection. And so we understand that we identify with the Lord's death when we repent. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so I began to quote several scriptures on repentance. That's how you obey the death. I know most of you have heard this 100,000 times. Amen. But I pray that it never becomes an old hat in a Pentecostal church. You still got to repent. You cannot get baptized until you repent. You cannot get the Holy Ghost until you repent. You got to have faith, but you got to repent. And so I preached on repentance a little while. And Leon was sitting on the front row. It was quiet. And then I got to baptism, death, burial. And so the Bible said in Romans 6 and 4 and also in Colossians 2 and 12, it basically, essentially says the same thing, that we are buried with Christ in baptism. So I said, you've got to obey the gospel, the death and the burial, repentance and be baptized. And so I went on through some scriptures of getting baptized in Jesus' name. I want to tell somebody tonight, you know, this is the way I feel about it. And I believe this would align with the word of God. The Bible says salvation is now. The day of salvation is now. It said now is the day of salvation. And so I believe that if the Apostle Paul was here tonight, he would not wait 2 and 3 weeks. If you repented of your sins tonight, you need to get baptized tonight. And I don't believe you need to leave this service until you make things right with God. And you let God's love engulf your soul. And you come to this altar and repent of all your sin. And let God wash every sin away. You're here tonight, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. You need to repent. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's biblical. That's biblical. Now, I know modern Pentecost, getting the Holy Ghost is up here and getting baptized is down here. No, it's equal. Water and spirit. I pray to the Lord that there's not somebody here tonight that's got the Holy Ghost. You've been sitting on a church pew for 2 or 3 weeks and won't get baptized in Jesus' name. If we really believed that salvation is both, it's amazing how we can just, you know, I know there's balance to everything. But anyway, so I got on getting baptized in Jesus' name. Death, burial, the gospel, and the resurrection. When I got to this part about the resurrection, the Bible said that if the same spirit dwell in you that raised Christ from the dead, he that raised up Christ from the dead by his spirit will also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit in you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. You know it. You got to have the Holy Ghost. I mean, the death, burial, resurrection. The spirit of the living God. I'm talking about when God comes to live inside of you. You talk about a feeling you can't get nowhere else. And somebody said, you ain't going to feel no different. Well, the same God that said, let there be light and there is light, frame the worlds by the word of God, and that God's going to get inside of us and we're not going to feel. No, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. I'm telling you, you're going to feel different. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's hard for Holy Ghost people to get to talking about the Holy Ghost and not get excited about it. So even though there was nobody saying amen, there was nobody saying praise the Lord, nobody hand clapping, it was as quiet as it could be. Leon told me later, he was sitting on the front row. He said, I heard two ladies behind me. He said, they were flipping through the pages. He said, I could hear those pages in that Bible. He said, every time I go to a scripture, they were following me in the scripture. And he said, he heard one of them say, well, that is what it says. Woo! They were afraid to stand up and say, amen, preach it, brother. Amen. But that's what they said. And I didn't know this. I didn't know that. But when I got to talking about the Holy Ghost, it's hard for Holy Ghost people to talk about the Holy Ghost and not get excited. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost people. I'm not talking about fakes. I'm talking about real people that's got the real genuine Holy Ghost that loves everybody. You love your neighbor, you love your brother, you love the preacher, you love everybody. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost folks. It's hard to talk about the Holy Ghost and not feel something. Well, I'm telling you, I got to feeling something in that big old denominational church. And I started running circles in that big old denominational church. And I yelled as loud as I could yell it. I said, every one of you needs to get this same Holy Ghost that I got. I wasn't afraid to tell them. Hey. Oh, the Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. From the youngest to the oldest, everybody's got to have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I was running circles. I did. I can't remember how many circles I ran, but I ran a few. And I thought about it when it was all over with. At any time, they could have shut the mic off. At any time, they could have turned that PA system down. They didn't. Most of them didn't, was not believing what I was saying. But they didn't do that. They didn't shut the mic off. They didn't turn the PA system off. They let me keep on preaching. You know why? The mayor done brought me there. And they didn't want to get crossways with the mayor. And I got a revelation that you know you're having revival when God can use politics in his favor. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Praise God. Anyways, well, when it was all said and done, now this was Sunday morning. Now, I'm telling you, I didn't know how everything worked. I was still, in many, many, many ways, I was a babe in many ways. But I went to my friend Leon, and this was Sunday morning. Now, where I'm from, and I thank God it's like this most places here in Texas still, thank God. It's kind of getting scarce, but where I'm from, we go to church on Sunday night. And I went to Leon. I didn't even know where I was going to go, but I just had faith. I said, Leon, I said, man, I said, we go to church on Sunday night. I want to invite you to come go to church with me. You know what Leon told me? He said, no, thank you. Now, I'm telling you, it's a crazy story, but it really happened. And I'm telling you just the way that it happened. I'm not exaggerating one bit. And I thank God he allowed me to experience all this. But that day was Leon's 30th birthday. It really was. It was his 30th birthday. And I invited him to go to church with me that night, and he didn't want to go. He was staying at the mayor's house, and I was staying at a hotel. So he went on to the mayor's house. I wasn't going to press the issue. But I went back to the hotel, and I'm thinking, this is my thought process. Well, I'm going to find me a church somewhere, and I'm going to call them, and I'm going to ask them a bunch of questions to get, you know, find out if I can go or not. Praise God. And so I got in this vehicle and I'm driving all over Kansas City, Missouri, and I had a list. I had a list, a bunch of churches. And I was calling every one of them and I was asking them questions. Whoever answered the phone, hey, are you an apostolic church? What do you believe? This, that, and other. But I got all turned around in Kansas City. And I got all turned around up there, and I got lost. And what I did not know is that God was working some things out on the other side. And so I got lost and somehow made it back to the hotel. I went to the phone book. Now, this has not been that long ago, but it was before we had you had the web on your phone. It wasn't that long ago, but not everybody had that. And some folks still don't have it. But anyway, praise God. And so went to the phone book, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if I can find a church that's like out of town, and I can call them, and everything's right, maybe I can go and just get on the interstate and do a straight shot out of town and find. And anyways, so I got in this vehicle, and I'm driving across the Missouri River Bridge, and I hear three words: "What about Leon? What about Leon?" And three words: "What about Leon?" And that was it. And I prayed. I felt like the Lord was dealing with me. And I prayed, and I said, "God, I've invited Leon to go to church. He don't want to go to church tonight." And I heard it one other time: "What about Leon?" And so I got off on the very next exit, and I called Leon on the phone, and Leon answered the phone. And what I did not know is that day, Leon went back to the mayor's house, got on the computer, and tried to find the first plane ticket he could to get out of town. But when it looked like God just closed every door. There was no way he could get out of town. And you know, God's a gentleman, and he's not going to force anybody to serve him. But when he's got your number, he does know how to back you up in a corner so that you have to decide what it is you're going to do. Amen. Well, Leon had got tired of fighting and trying to find a plane ticket to get out of town. I called him. I said, "Leon, let's be real. I know it's your 30th birthday, but you're not doing anything worthwhile tonight. Why don't you come go to church with me?" And he said, "Okay, I'll go." Praise God. Can I tell the whole story? Can I be like old Paul Harvey used to say and tell the rest of the story? I don't tell this everywhere. My babies always ask me, "Dad, why do you even tell this part?" Sometimes, because sometimes you don't feel the liberty. But we're just having a good old time tonight. We're enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so I made my way back to the mayor's house, and I picked up Leon, and we're driving, and we're going to church on Sunday night. And now, this is a little humorous, but we're having a good time tonight. But, you know, I'm driving. The mayor done flew me out there. He's paying for my hotel room. He said he was going to give me a check. And he's providing my transportation. Well, when the mayor came and picked me up from the airport, he only had this. There was no rental car. And he apologized. He said, "Mr. Ballinger, I'm so sorry, but this is all I got." Now, I'm telling you the truth. And so here I am driving, heading to this church on Sunday night. And you would think that we'd have something decent to ride around in. But when the mayor picked me up and gave me the vehicle, it was a little bitty, small, pink truck. I don't tell that everywhere. Probably ought not tell it in Texas, but where I'm from, we just didn't do that. I don't wear pink. And what was so bad about it is that the truck had been in an accident, and the driver's side door would not close. And if you rounded a corner and you didn't have a hold of that door was going to fly wide open, and everybody's going to see you. And I'm up there praying, "Lord, don't let there be anybody from the country up here." Anyway, praise God. Anyway, so I don't tell that part everywhere, but that really happened. It was a little bitty old pink truck. I don't know. Maybe if it happened today, I don't know if I'd get in it. But anyway, praise God. You got to crawl before you can walk. But anyway, praise God. And so I'm thinking, well, it's Sunday night, and where I go to church, we're shouting like crazy. I've seen my wife shout bobby pins out of her hair, singing in the choir. And we didn't even have a big old PA system that everybody goes crazy about now. And you didn't even feel the beat of the drum in your chest, but we had so much high church without all that. I'm not preaching against all that. I'm just saying it was so genuine, it was so pure, so spontaneous. I miss those days. And anyways, it ain't been that long ago, but that's what I was used to. And it wasn't, and so I'm thinking, Leon, you have no idea about what you're about to step into. You have no idea what you're about to experience. And so we walked in, found this church, walked in there, and sat down on the pew, and the preacher was teaching a Sunday school lesson. God knows what we need more than what we do. He's teaching a Sunday school lesson on Sunday night. Well, praise God. I thank God. The Word of God is exciting.
Yes, sir.
Bible study. It ain't always got to be sensational, but Bible study is good. Well, do you happen to know what the Sunday school lesson was about? Death, burial, and resurrection. God knew everything that Leon needed to hear. And he began to talk. He began to teach systematically from the Word of God about repentance and getting baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't know, but God did, that Leon came from a church where they didn't believe in getting baptized. They had a bowl up on the rostrum, and they would sprinkle somebody, and they called that. They didn't get baptized. Well, I did not know that, but God did. The preacher did not know me, and he did not know Leon. And so, but when the preacher got to baptism, he stopped and he began to dig deep. And he quoted this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, where the Bible said, in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And so he talked about how that water cleansed the earth and lifted up the ark to the saving of Noah's house. Hallelujah. He went down to it and talked about how they both went down into the water and they came up out of the water. You know what? I didn't know that Leon didn't believe in all that, but God did. And then he talked about the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, sir. And when he got to the end of the Bible study that night, he asked for some music. A sister came and she started playing the piano, and he was not very emotional. Very monotone, but the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God really is all it takes. Really, the Word of God is really what we need. I know we want sensational, we want hype, we want all this stuff. When he got to the end of that Bible study, he said, if there's anybody here tonight and you need anything from God, the altar is open. So I'm sitting back there. And it wasn't very emotional at all, but I got up and I walked down. They had an old-fashioned wooden altar just like this. I thank God for these altars. Yes, and I went right down to the front and I just began to pray. And there was a sister playing the piano, and I just began to pray. And a few minutes go by, and I'm down there praying. And a few minutes go by, and I hear a bunch of men praying behind me. And I got up and I turned around, and Leon had done got up out of that pew, walked down that aisle, and he buried his face in the carpet right behind me, and he began to repent of his sins on his 30th birthday. I'm talking about somebody that the world had a hold on, somebody that the devil had him in his grasp. I walked over there to where Leon was, and we prayed. You talk about faith. Faith began to rise in that building. I prayed with my friend. Oh, we prayed. I don't know how long we prayed. I don't know how long we prayed. But there was a point of time there where the preacher walked down and walked and made his way toward Leon. And when the preacher got close, Leon lifted up his head, tears streaming down his face, looked at the preacher in the eye, and he said, I need to get baptized in Jesus' name. You're here tonight. You ain't never been baptized in Jesus' name. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know the thrill that you're missing. Something that'll do you good in your never dying soul. That preacher looked at Leon when he said that. He didn't know us from anybody. He said, great. He said, wonderful. When you want to do that? Well, Leon said, can you baptize me right now? Praise God. Well, the Bible said salvation is now. Yeah, the Bible said salvation is now. That's what the scripture said. Salvation is now. The Philippian jailer was baptized the same hour of the night.
Is that the book of Acts? Is that the Bible? Is that the Bible? That's the Bible, brother. That's the word of God. That ain't the tradition of man, but that's the word of the Lord. I know you got to repent. I know you need to know what you're doing. But I mean, it is scripture. And that preacher was kind of taken back. Leon said, "Can you baptize me right now?" He said, "Well, sure, yeah." And so, and they talked, and I'm telling you, I won't ever forget this night. The Lord be my helper. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, Leon walks to the back. I could hear him praying still. He was still praying. I'm talking about a man that came up under traditional religion. I'm talking about a man that was depressed. And I watched as he went to the back. Praise God. I'm almost done preaching. I know this is kind of a little bit different for a youth gathering, but praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to get close to this baptistry. Praise God. I remember when Leon, when he walked down those steps, he walked down them steps and he got down in that water. And when that preacher baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, Leon came up out of the water, had never seen anybody shout before. He had never seen anybody speak in tongues. But he came up out of that water, raised up both his hands in the air, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. We shouted water all over that place. We were worshiping God. We were dancing in the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to rejoice in the God of your salvation tonight. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You know what some of you saints need? You need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in your life. Every young person needs a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in your life. I'm telling you. I'll tell you what to get young people to sure up their walk with God, quit walking in carnality, is if they really had a fresh dose of the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. I could preach on that tonight. Oh yeah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know why people backslide? They don't have no joy. They don't have any joy because they fall out of love with God and they fall in love with the world, and the world has never produced joy for anybody. Why people sin is because they ain't got joy in their life. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. But what you need is the joy of the Holy Ghost, which is your strength. It'll help you. It'll keep you. It'll wash you. Musicians, come on. I'm getting ready to close. I want the musicians to come and bring, oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have some Holy Ghost victory music tonight. Let's have some Holy Ghost victory music tonight. I'm looking for somebody to get the Holy Ghost in these altars tonight. I'm looking for a dear saint of God that's been struggling with depression. Leave here totally delivered, not having any kind of depression in your mind and in your spirit. No depression. Woo! Oh, he got the Holy Ghost that night. Got baptized in Jesus' name. Happy birthday! Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. It's too good not to tell the rest of it. Now, it's preaching revival service, I'd probably close it right now. Leon got up out of that water, and he walked to the door of that church. I guess he was just doing what he saw me do, but he walked to the door of that sanctuary, and he opened up the door of that church. And I'm telling you, he jumped out of that threshold of that door, and he started running circles in that church parking lot. Running circles in that church parking lot. And he was yelling as loud as he could yell. I ain't got much voice to preach or yell tonight. I've been preaching my heart out, but oh, hallelujah. But he was yelling. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. That's exactly what he said. He said, I'm clean. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus will make you clean. You ain't got to worry about those old filthy thoughts. You can't have dominion in your life. Yeah. Running in circles, won't he make you clean? Hallelujah. I'm clean, I'm clean. We get in this truck, and I could see that gleam in his eye. I could tell he was not the same man leaving that church as he was when he walked in. And I said, Leon, I said, look, I said, you're probably not going to want to spend the night at the mayor's house tonight. I said, you're probably not going to want to spend the night at the mayor's house tonight. I said, we'll get you a room at the hotel. And I didn't try to give him a whole Bible study, but, you know, we love the mayor and love his family. He's not the mayor there now, but we still love them. But I knew that that atmosphere at the mayor's house wasn't for a Christian. And I didn't feel like telling him all that, but I said, look, I said, just trust me. He said, I'll be all right. You know what we did? We called Mr. Harvey, Brother Harvey, the man that won me to the Lord. And we shouted and rejoiced and talked in tongues over the phone. Woo! Glory to God. And we got to the mayor's house. He said, I'll be all right. I said, look, I said, if you change your mind, you call me or text me and I'll come back and get you and we'll get you a room at the hotel. He said, I appreciate it. I'll be all right. Well, I got back to the hotel and it really happened. It really happened. As soon as I pulled in the parking space, my phone went off and I looked and it was a text message from Leon and it said, come get me, please. Really happened. I went back and got Leon. I said, it ain't the same anymore. He said, it's not the same. It's not the same. I mean, when you really get God in your life, I mean, it's so real. I mean, it's so real. Psychology can't talk people into this. No, I mean, you know what? We stayed up all night long talking about the goodness of Jesus. He was living in Raleigh, North Carolina at the time. And he was, now I'm just telling you the story. He was shacking up with this old girl. Of course, I wouldn't advise. You probably can't get baptized tonight if you're doing that. But anyway, you make it right. But praise God. Anyways, but he got the goods. He flew back to Raleigh, North Carolina, went up into that apartment, got his stuff, and he told me, he said, and I didn't know he was doing all kind of drugs that he never told me about. I never found out until a long time later. But when he flew back home, he went into the closet and he had all this drug paraphernalia. Stuff that you used to couldn't get so easy. But anyway, and he had all these drug paraphernalia, and he had a half a pack of cigarettes. And he put it in a brown paper sack, rolled it up, told the girl, I love you, I'm going to go serve the Lord. Left up out of that house? Sure did. Drove 2 hours, got in church with us. He lived with me for a little while before he got a place of his own. You know what? No more cigarettes, no more drugs, no more nightclubs, no more crazy living, no more depression, no more guilt, no more shame, no more sin. I'm telling you, God gave him something to rejoice about and be happy about. Every saint of God ought to be happy tonight. Because when you know you got Jesus down in your soul, it'll make you sing and it'll make you shout. Yeah! Hallelujah! Oh, yeah! Let's lift our hands and love the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. I feel to plead with somebody tonight that's dealing with anxiety, pain in your mind. The Lord wants to give you something to help you tonight. This is your service. Why don't you step out of that seat, step out of that, into that aisle, and come down to the altar and let God help your life tonight. Let God change your life tonight. Let God give you something to be happy about tonight. Oh, let's pray, church. How about it? Can you help me pray? Now, some of you dear saints of God that think this is for somebody else, it's for all of us here tonight. Saints, I want to invite you to help us to pray right now. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not reaching for somebody. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost is not moving to change somebody's life for the better. Some of you here tonight, you need to get up out of that seat, make your way down to this altar, and lift up your voice and talk to Jesus, and let the Lord Jesus Christ make himself known in your life. The Lord loves you tonight. The Lord's got something better for you tonight than the world. The Lord wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost and put a dance in your step and a shout in your heart. Oh, let's praise him.
Go ahead. I am bruised. I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a
oh, let's worship him.
All over me, Lord, I feel the joy of the Lord.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling.